Well, as we gather in this place tonight, like those who waited the first Advent, we wait in hope. We tonight wait not for the first Advent, for that has already come in the birth of Christ, but we await the second Advent, when Christ will come and complete his work of salvation. Christ has come, yet our world is still not at peace. There are wars and rumors of wars. North Korea is firing test missiles and ISIS seeks to do us in. We say we're at full employment, yet so many people are struggling to find the kind of jobs that can support a family. Opioids are running rampant, especially in rural communities around our country, while drug makers are reporting record profits. The stock market is near record high, yet people in my hometown are still drinking water out of plastic bottles because they don't trust the water. In other words, things aren't right, and we know it. Something is broken, something is wrong, and we know it. We live in this land of in-between, where we see both the blessings and afflictions of our time. And just like the people of Israel who awaited the coming of the Messiah some 2,000 years ago, we await the second coming. We await a time where things will finally be made right, where the crooked will be made straight, where rough spots will be made smooth, and where once again we will live in alignment with how God designed us and created us to live. But for now, we wait. We live in this time in between. For now, we live on this roller coaster of ups and downs, of good and evil. It's the world in which we live. I'm reminded of these words from the U2 song, Peace on Earth. We need it now. I'm sick of all of this hanging around, sick in sorrow, sick of pain, sick of hearing again and again that there's going to be peace on earth. Jesus, can you take the time to throw a drowning man a line? Peace on earth. Tell the ones who hear no sound, whose sons are living in the ground. Peace on earth, Jesus, is the song you wrote. The words are sticking in my throat. Peace on earth. Hear it every Christmas time. But hope and history will not rhyme. So what's its worth, this peace on earth? This peace on earth. Well, Merry Christmas. Joy to the world. Really? Really? Joy? From a biblical perspective, I want you to know this. Joy has nothing to do with our particular situation. Joy from a theological perspective does not ride on the ups and downs of our daily circumstances like some roller coaster. Joy is based in the eternal promises of God. In Luke chapter 2, we read where, while the shepherds were tending their flock by night, that suddenly they were visited by the angels and they were startled. In fact, it says they were afraid, they were terrified. And the angels said to the shepherds, "Fear not. For I bring you good news of great joy, for unto you this day in the city of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." So I want you to think about this. What difference did this news make to the shepherds? Was it fake news? Did their meager existence suddenly change? Did they go from being poor shepherds just scraping by, trying to make a living, to Easy Street? Were they suddenly removed from the oppressive hand of the Roman Empire? No, they weren't. So what is this good news of great joy? You see, I think there's a problem with the way we translate that word. We think of joy. We think of being happy, of happiness. We think of being happy because things are going well. We think of joy, and we think of parties and victory celebrations and everything going right and everything going our way. We think that somehow joy and happiness are tied together. So there's this idea that when we talk about joy at Christmas, that we're all somehow supposed to be happy. And if we're not, we should at least do a good job of faking it. But that's not the case. Joy in the Bible has nothing to do with ups and downs or having everything perfect. Joy is not fake happy. It's not bucking up and putting a smile on your face even when you don't feel like it. It's recognizing that God is with us no matter what we're facing, and that God in the fullness of time will redeem and restore his creation. In Philippians 4, St. Paul wrote this: "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I'll say it: rejoice. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and appeal with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Now I want you to note this. St. Paul is writing this letter from a prison cell. He's on death row. He could easily be executed at any time, yet he's writing about joy and rejoicing? Really? It's because his joy came from knowing that God was near, that God was with him, that God was with him even in the prison cell on death row, and he was able to live with joy. He knew that despite whatever came, that God was with him. And in the end, God and God's ways win. Now, many of you who know me know I'm a huge college football and basketball fan. And when I have to miss a game, usually because of a service here at church, a wedding, a funeral, a 5:30 service, I always record the game. And then I ask people, usually at the 5:30 service, please do not tell me the score. But sometimes they slip and they tell me. And I still go home and watch it. But it's a different experience. It's a different experience when you know the final score, when already know that my team has won. You know, the fumbles don't bother me anymore, and interceptions don't bother me, and blown calls like we saw against St. Bonaventure on Friday night are less painful. The refs really messed that up. But we live differently because we know the final score. And even in losing, there's things that we can learn that help us down the road. But here's the point. When we know how the story ends, it changes how we experience life and even death. For we know that in the final chapter, God wins, and that we as creation will finally be at peace. Having faith, putting hope in the one born in the manger, is like knowing the final score. In the end, God wins. No matter what you're facing, no matter what your past is, no matter what kind of burdens you carry on your shoulders right now, God wants you to live with this profound sense of joy that comes not from circumstances, but by knowing the final score. Now, I'm aware it's Christmas Eve, and my guess is that there are a number of you who are here tonight who've written off Christianity. You've come because it's a tradition, it's the thing to do on Christmas Eve. But I want to challenge you, if that kind of fits your bill tonight, I want to kind of challenge you. You may think this ultimate hope in God, this belief in eternity beyond this life, is nothing more than wishful thinking. All right, let's say you're right. So when you die, they dig you a grave and they put you in it. The end. That's it. You have no soul, you have no life beyond. You're just a meaningless speck of dust in the vastness of a universe. It's kind of depressing, wouldn't you agree? But let's say that you live a life believing in God and that Jesus was who he claimed to be, God in the flesh, and you're wrong. What have you lost? What have you lost if you live a life of deep spiritual joy, even though it has no basis in reality? I would say you've lost nothing. But you've found the way to live life with a deep sense of joy and purpose. That as you try to live out your life following the teachings of Christ, you find that his teachings work for you. Again, what have you lost? More importantly, what have you found? This past fall, we did a series here called Faith, Science, and Reason. And we talked about how faith and science aren't enemies of each other, but partners in discovering truth. And as someone who studied in both the field of theology and science, I believe that Jesus is not only who he said he was, but that Jesus gives us the light to walk through this life that many times can seem very filled with darkness. So what I'm saying to you is this. Give this idea of God a chance. Open the doors of your mind and your heart to this person of Jesus. Open yourself to experience a sense of joy that comes not from within, but from above. The reason we gather tonight, the reason we pray, the reason we sing, the reason we celebrate tonight is our great hope that because of the birth of the long prophesied Christ child, we now have hope. Hope that the promises of God are true. And because of this hope, we can live with a sense of joy despite all the challenges of our current time. You know, it's not like we're living in La La Land and ignorant to the realities of the challenges that we face. It's that we no longer give fear and anxiety the power to control us and to steal our joy. We have within us this deep sense that joy, the trust in the power of God to restore all things in the fullness of time. And sometimes, quite honestly, I lose sight of that. Sometimes I look at the endless list of things that have to get done and at the problems that need to be solved, and I worry and fret about all kinds of stuff that in the scope of reality really don't matter. And that robs me of the kind of joy that God wants all of his children to experience. My guess is I'm not alone in this, that some of you find yourself in the same exact place. So I have an assignment for you. In your bulletin tonight, there's this little sticker, and it says, it's about joy. We did this 9 years ago, my first Christmas as your pastor. Hard to believe this is my 10th year. And I still have people telling me that they have this sticker, and it's been a powerful reminder about the importance of living with joy no matter what. So what I want you to do is I want you to take this sticker home with you, put it on your refrigerator or mirror in your bathroom, and I want you to put it someplace where you see it every day to remind yourself that God wants you to live each day with a sense of joy, not just when everything is going right, but even when everything seems to be going wrong. Let's pray. Lord God, help each of us here tonight to find a sense of joy as we know you walk with us in the valleys, the mountaintops, and everywhere in between. Help us to leave this place tonight confident of your presence and filled with your peace. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.